until lunch, we proceed with a discussion on equity method of accounting. It will be presented by Michelle Sampson.
So this is a paper that we sought views of the board from in May about the scope of the equity project. And what we're looking for is feedback on the proposed scope. So in the paper, we have outlined some of the historical uses of the equity method of accounting. And discuss, you know, whether it be a measurement method where it's been used for the definition of a subsidiary in consolidation, and where it's been used where there's significant control. We've also looked at where it's currently used in IFRS, and I think the point that we identified was IAS 28 doesn't really define the problem that it's trying to solve. It explains how to use the method and when to use the method. So as part of the agenda consultation, there was views expressed that we should look at the equity method. But the views expressed tended to be identifying issues around the methodology of the method rather than identifying a particular financial reporting issue. So we're proposing in this paper that rather than launch into looking at the method, we spend some time looking at and defining the problem that we think the equity method seeks to resolve, or the problems. And the suggestion that came from the board was that we look at this in both the separate and the consolidated financial statements individually. We recognise that one of the key things we need to do is to look at the information needs as users as we go through this stage, and particularly to try and understand the different information needs perhaps in different scenarios, so not look holistically but kind of break things down. And one of the things we think we need to do is to look at that in terms of having examples of alternatives available so that we can discuss those information needs. We've tried to look at what alternatives that we may consider to the equity method, whether we should look at simplifying the method or doing something different. We do think we can build on some of the work that we did in IFRS 12 around the objective and disclosures of information needs and work along some of that work there. So that's one of the things we don't think we would do is look at the definition of an associate in itself. We wanted to focus more on the equity method, but what we're really doing is seeking your input on the proposals in this paper.
Well, I mean, Michelle attended our forum of standard setters the other day, so I hope she finds that I'm faithful to what we heard there. Basically, the comments that were made was that if the ISB was to undertake a research project on the equity method, the scope that was presented was the scope that should be covered, and starting with what users need, certainly a place to start for this kind of project. But in the discussion, the point was also made that we haven't heard complaints from users around the equity method. And when thinking of the results of the agenda consultation that was run in 2011, we didn't identify that there was such a priority to be given to reconsidering the equity method altogether. So basically, the first message is that there doesn't seem, from the European perspective, support for the ISB having such a project as a priority. That doesn't say that the equity method itself in its application doesn't raise a certain number of difficulties. So there is indeed support for having some work done on how to ease those difficulties. And in fact, So you refer in your notes to the EFRAG paper. We have received some comments, and we are going to reflect on those and provide some feedback statements so that you have the full input on this. But I would like also to refer to the paper that the Korean Standards Board just issued, and that basically deal with the same issue that we have outlined. And finally say that in the meeting the other day, people, in addition to those issues highlighted, that probably the definition of significant influence was an area where maybe additional guidance would be useful to avoid the effects of the bright line. I read from some comments that we received on this issue that people are thinking of making a distinction between those who entities that are in fact the interest that the entity has in those entities belong to co-activities or not co-activities. This distinction has also been made in the comments that we've received. So basically there is support for some work done by the Eyes Beyond the Equity Method. It's more in the line of contributing to the maintenance of IFRS activities, and it is to the development part of your work. And so that's what I would say. Thank you.
Glenn?
Yeah, on this project, I think there's a general support in our region for looking at equity accounting. One thing that as a thing to look at is whether it should be looked at as a 1-9 consolidation or just a measurement issue, and also. One of the concern or one of the observation that people are having is on the present equity method, the when it comes to impairment evaluation, the impairment indicators in FS9 are being used, whereas you look at the other, you know, the IAS 36 for other areas, there might be, you know, sort of some inconsistency there. Why are we using IFRS 9 impairment indicators for equity accounting consideration? And then lastly is about the usage of equity accounting. I think Michelle alluded earlier about, you know, the historical role with the control concept being redefined clearly in IFRS 10 now. And, one really need to look at whether the future role of equity accounting.
Okay. Kim?
Thanks, Hans. Yeah, I think from our perspective, we certainly welcome the project. We certainly would support a project which looks at it and holistically as to whether or not we should even have equity accounting, so what the purpose is, etc. So I think the starting point is right to see, well, what issues was it initially created to try and address, and to find out, is it a one-line consolidation, is it a measurement issue, etc., and then decide, yes, does it need some fixes, or do we end up by abandoning it and going for full fair value, etc. So it's something which we certainly would support.
Kevin?
I'm feeling very watershedish at my last meeting. I started in technical in 1974, and there was an ED out in Australia on the equity method issued late 73. I think we've had six EDs since then, and it's really comforting to come to the end of your career and find that we're going to do a research study into the equity method. The traditional reasons for it coming into being have all fallen away over the years, and not just improving consolidation, but also improving investment accounting. So we're left with a method that does not obey any of the measurement rules and does not obey any of the recognition rules either, which sometimes gets overlooked. We feel comfortable with it because we know something about it. In some circumstances, it probably isn't too far off the mark. If all it's doing is shifting the timing of recognition a little because dividends and earnings in the investee are not quite lined up. But beyond that, it really is arcane. And so I absolutely agree with the line that Kim just gave, that we need to look at whether we need this method. It's an abortion, really, when it comes to conceptual underpinnings. So have a look, but I think Michelle's been very careful in the way she's unveiled the issues, and she hasn't really hit hard on whether or not the method's justified, but I think you've got to look at that method.
Alexander?
Well, we've got a strong support for this paper. I believe in. You mentioned here that separate financial statements are not considered here in this program. But I think it's difficult to reach a conceptual understanding of the equity method and to go actually deeper on this if you ignore separate financial statements. Because one of in most many jurisdictions, one of the main reasons to have the equity method is actually because the public companies are the legal entity which ends up being a public company is the parent company, is not the consolidated company. So do you understand what I mean? So when you look at the which company is listed in the stock exchange, it's a parent company. Well, some countries do not have the concept of consolidated financial statements on a legal basis. So all dividends, etc., will be calculated. All covenants and tax too, but we can't forget about tax for the moment. But to think about dividends and covenants, etc., they will be based on the separate financial statements of the parent company. So if you do not use the equity method on those companies, and that's why in some of the cases like Brazil, it's required in the law, because otherwise you're gonna have no representation of what's going on the subsidiaries. Okay, so I believe this is one of the important because when you look at the consolidated financial statement, then it can lose some of its relevance. But on the individual separate financial statement, as you like, that becomes very important, because otherwise you're going to pay dividends on a cash basis only when you receive dividends, and obviously I believe it's not appropriate to account for it.
Russ?
Thanks, Hans. So we recommend a two-step approach. We think that looking at it holistically will provide value, and we think that understanding the user needs is critical to determine the holistic approach. Since the equity method was created, there's been a lot of additional work around consolidations, a lot of additional work around fair value. But our concern is that a holistic review would take a lot of time, and there are currently areas that could be simplified with an equity method of accounting. We have on our agenda a simplification initiative. As a part of that, the staff does plan to bring in the summer an agenda request around various items in the measurement equity method, including the embedded goodwill and the recognition of embedded intangibles within the equity method of accounting. Another issue that is prevalent in the U.S. and I'm not sure is prevalent under IFRS is that when an entity becomes on the equity method of accounting, so they've increased their level of ownership, that they have to retroactively do retrospective reporting, and so that causes some additional cost. But I don't know if I understand that's not specifically addressed in IFRS. And I'm unaware of what happens in practice, but in the U.S. it's quite clear you have to retrospectively apply. So those are the two areas in the U.S. that people have raised, an area where we could perhaps simplify it. as part of our AFI project, we did consider putting all equity method investments at fair value, felt that that was difficult to do. We also considered a distinction between core and non-core and concluded that was difficult to do. So at this point, we decided to retain current U.S. GAAP and focus on the simplification areas.
Thank you.
Thanks, Hans. We support the ISB's decision to undertake a research initiative on equity account, equity method of accounting. Recently, we have carried out a survey to users, preparers, and auditors in Japan to ask their views on the usefulness of the equity method of accounting and practical challenges that they encountered in its application. They expressed a significant level of interest in this issue, so I would like to share a couple of key messages. Firstly, most of all users and preparers stated that the equity method of accounting provides useful information with users of financial statements, as it reflects financial performance of investees on the group's financial statements on a timely manner. So they stated that group's financial statements will fail to provide useful information to users of financial statement if all equity investments were to be measured at FVPL. Secondly, the financial statement preparers stated that the scope of equity method of accounting should be reconsidered because they believe that in some cases that method failed to provide useful information to users. Thirdly, the financial statement preparers identified a number of practical challenges in the application of the equity method of accounting. For example, they stated that it is often challenging to obtain sufficient information necessary for them to apply the equity method of accounting within a short period of time frame. Having considered the feedbacks, we do not believe that there is a need to make fundamental changes, such as abolishing the equity method of accounting and replace it with FVPL entirely. Nevertheless, having considered the high level of interest from market constituents, we encourage that the ISB have thorough consultation with stakeholders in progressing the research project.
Peter?
We've talked to Canadian financial statement users about the project and the priority, and it seems that most users are quite comfortable with the way things are, and sometimes they not looking for change. It seems to us, though, that there are reasons to carry out a project. I think you've got a method which sounds somewhat mechanical rather than principles oriented, and it's used in three different circumstances, I guess. You've got associates, you've got some joint ventures, and then you've got the separate financial statements, which in our jurisdiction are much less common, but I guess they're very common in other areas. You've got apparently one method used in three different circumstances. How do you rationalize that? And is it the same version of the equity method in all three cases? Because there seem to be variations, and we see that when people talk about one-line consolidation versus measurement issue. And you look at the number of things that seem to be talked about at IFRIC around what is the method. So it does suggest be helpful to deal with some of these rather sterile debates that you get between preparers and auditors, for example, as to exactly what the method is when you're trying to apply it. So it does seem worthwhile to carry on.
John Shaw?
First, relevant to the scope, we've strongly supported the project. I think the project will resolve the current application issues on equity method. But we should balance between the scope, whether it should be concept-oriented or issue-oriented. we believe that as a research project, maybe we should do both, because if we only tackle the issues and there is no sound concept online to resolve those issues, maybe it's difficult to deal with the issues. So we still hope that the scope in the future should take both, not only limited to the issues, but also relevant to the concept underlying the equity method. Secondly, the agenda paper is very good, provided two concepts. One is the one-line consolidation approach, another is measurement approach. Because current practice, it seems that current equity method is very close to the one-line consolidation approach, and it has been applied in Chinese practice. So we listen to the views to the preparers and the regulators. They seem that are comfortable with the current concept based on the one-line consolidation. But so we favor the one-line consolidation approach, and people also worry about if we take the measurement approach, they worry about maybe we, the ISB, whether we will choose the fair value to the measurement to measure those investments. It's very difficult for company to do so, and whether it can improve, you know, the performance disclosure. So secondly, finally, what kind of, if this the project will be, you know, will be focused on short-term solution to the issues, I think currently in Chinese practice, several issues are very urgent. The first is about the accounting treatment, not only to the consolidated level, statement level, but also at a separate statement level. And secondly, some application issues such as the accounting treatment of the goodwill inherited in the investment in associated, and the impairment, and also the accounting treatment on the share of other net assets changes. The board have made a decision, but we still need urgent solution to that issues. So those issues, if the board decided to tackle, we hope in short term can provide some answer to those issues.
What I've heard is very similar to the agenda consultation. I think I've heard support for keeping it, but moving away from it to perhaps fair value, support for one line consolidation, and perhaps more for pragmatically going to a measurement. So I think we've that's the reason why it needs to be thought about quite carefully, because we do have some real application issues now. One of the reasons we've gone a little bit faster with this and getting the paper out is that we have got something like 10 issues that we faced the interpretations committee, that pick their practice issues, that like the goodwill, for example. So I had a question for Russ. So you're going to, if we took a two-step approach, it sounds like you're not going to, for example, say, well, it's a measurement basis as opposed to one-line consolidation, but looking at the more problematic issues like goodwill and coming up with a simplification there, as opposed to saying just don't do any adjustments, for example. Is that the approach you're taking?
That's right. I mean, we somewhat took a holistic view in the AFI project and concluded that we would stay with US GAAP, and so right now we're going to focus on the simplification of it.
Okay. Yeah. I think what we've heard is consistent with what we've been hearing around, and why we're sort of trying to step back and actually try to identify, you know, the issues about the we identified in the paper, the sort of bright line approach that we have to identifying whether or not somebody's got significant influence. The 20% is applied in some jurisdictions as almost like a bright line. It's whether we should have a look at that. But we're also very conscious that the cure shouldn't be worse than the problem. So particularly when we get to the measurement side of it, one thing to do, we could quite practically and very simply say, look, you know, to use Kevin's words, you know, we kind of understand what it is. We could simply say, well, let's just call it measurement and simply specify what the requirements are. But we are concerned about related party transactions and about the ability for people to manipulate income, for example, and whether or not the purpose is different between separate and the group financial statements. Because, you know, would you want one approach for one for the other, or at least different disclosure requirements? So we're a bit concerned that we don't end up jumping down and ending up with a worse problem that we started with as well, which is why we want to step back a bit. The most interesting thing, I think, is about whether we can have a concept-oriented approach to this, and I think that's the challenge, because people are saying it's not a conceptual issue in a sense, but you do want to have a reasonably principled approach to the way you approach something like equity method. And I think one bit of feedback I've heard is I think there's less concern about the way the net number is actually put together, and more concern about what information is disclosed around that, which is Michelle's point at the beginning. If you have got a special relationship with these, between the investor and their investee, that allows you to have some sort of influence, or in the JV, you have a joint control, it's information around that relationship that seems to be what we're hearing, I think, from investors that they find particularly helpful.
I don't know what ultimately the ISB is going, kind of decision is going to make, whether to go for a holistic project or not. But whether you do it or not, I really think that you should have a specific stream of work that is more of a short-term nature that would give some underpinnings, let's call it temporary underpinnings, for the application of the equity method. There is, mentioned the Corinne paper. In the Corinne paper, there is a table on page 43 which shows that the current equity method requirement in IFRS in fact respond to three different and separate approaches, and that this disparate way of defining those requirements bring all these contradictions going the line when you try to solve a narrow scope amendment issue. So if instead of continuing having narrow scope amendments on this taken one by one, you could rationalize rationalize the underpinning so that in fact constituents no longer have the need to come and put requests to the IFRIC but find the reasonable application by themselves. Whether you develop during that time a holistic project or not is indifferent. I don't think that the decision of starting such a project should delay dealing with the issues that arise in practice today.
Yes, I was just on the Korean paper. They presented that paper at the Emerging Economies Group last week. Paper, and they're going to take their research on further. So it'll be interesting to watch what they come up with. But I agree, it was a very good paper, and we'll be taking note of it.
Right.
Okay. No more additional comments. We are a bit ahead of schedule. Let's break for lunch and resume our meeting at 1:30.
Yeah, that's about